From the K2O newsroom, I'm Pablo Peña with your state and local news update. On the first day, a policy went into effect to test out-of-state travelers as an alternative to quarantine. A test caught a case at Juneau International Airport. The city and borough announced this afternoon the traveler went through testing at the airport on Saturday. It's Juneau's first non-resident case. The city says the person who tested positive will be isolated for a minimum of 10 days. State public health workers are investigating who the individual was in close contact with, including on the airplane. In related news, another Alaskan has died from COVID-19 after more than a month of no fatalities linked to the disease in the state. The person was a patient at Providence Transitional Care Center in East Anchorage, the site of the state's largest coronavirus outbreak. The patient tested positive for the disease, was hospitalized, and died on Sunday at the Providence Alaska Medical Center, according to a spokesperson for Providence. He declined to provide the patient's age or information on any underlying medical conditions. The patient is the 11th Alaskan to die from the virus. The state announced the death Tuesday, along with another double-digit increase in coronavirus cases. By the end of Monday, 11 more Alaskans had tested positive for the disease. So had two more seafood workers from out of state. As protests over the death of George Floyd spread through communities across the state, some cities are questioning how and when their hometown police are using force. Anchorage Police posted their use of force policy online, but Juneau City Police refused this week to release their written policy, at least not without getting lawyers involved. Activists in Juneau say police need to be more transparent with how they're policing, as there are clear racial equity problems in how laws are enforced in the state. From KTO in Juneau here, Rasha McChesney has the story.
From Utqiagvik to Unalaska to Juneau, Alaskans are protesting. It's part of a massive social movement demanding police be held accountable. And they were sparked in part by a video of the death of a black man named George Floyd, who pleaded for air as a white Minneapolis police officer kneeled on his neck during an arrest. In Alaska, protesters are speaking out about their experiences at the hands of local police. And in Juneau, people told the city assembly on Monday that if black community members are saying they don't feel safe, supported, or welcome, it's the responsibility of the community to hear and address those problems. Here's Laura Steele.
I think that there's an attitude, and I've held it myself in the past, that our town is small enough and diverse enough and open-minded enough that racism and excessive use of force just isn't a problem for us. But having heard from the black community on Saturday, clearly that's not the case.
Sonia Ibarra told assembly members to lead uncomfortable conversations and challenge the white privilege that stands in the way of racial equity.
I'm calling in because I'm hurting for our Black, Brown, and Indigenous brothers and sisters, because we need change across this country, across Alaska, across Juneau, and this includes you. I ask you to hear the words of our community, of our people of color.
Several hundred people in Juneau have gathered to support Black Lives Matter and denounce police brutality and institutional racism.
Juneau is not immune.
Juneau is not immune.
And they're demanding reforms to police oversight and what types of force they can use. Juneau Police Chief Ed Mercer says his officers stand with them.
For the past two Saturdays, members of the Juneau Police Department have attended protests in Juneau to show our solidarity in denouncing excessive use of force by police departments.
Mercer told the Juneau Assembly that what happened in Minneapolis shouldn't be tolerated. And he laid out some ways that the Juneau Police Department has worked to avoid it. They've had their officers wear body cameras since 2017. They don't hire people with a history of domestic violence or anyone who can't pass a background check. And then Mercer laid out some statistics from last year. Officers have to file reports with him whenever they use force that exceeds a firm grip. In 2019, he says Juneau Police used force against 38 people. And to put that in context, Mercer says generally officers are using force when they're arresting people. Compare those 38 people to the number of people they arrested last year, and he says Juneau Police used force in just over 2% of their arrests.
Simply put, the people of Juneau do not have to fear police force unless they are committing a violent act or resisting arrest.
But when Assemblymember Rob Edwardson tried to drill down into specifics about how and when Juneau Police decide to use force.
May I see the printed use of force policy?
Chief Mercer.
At this time, no.
Edwardson said he wanted to see it because he's hearing complaints about officers using force that's not appropriate for the situations they're responding to.
And these aren't, you know, like kneeling on somebody's neck or anything like that, but placing hands on people, manhandling people.
In the past, Edwardson says part of his job was to certify people in law enforcement to do things like carry weapons. So he became pretty familiar with use of force policies. And there were rules, even down to specifics on how cops can stand so they're non-threatening.
And I'm getting reports of people being stopped and asked questions with the police officer having their hand on the gun, which isn't part of the interview position, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to see the use of force policy.
Edwardson said he wanted to see complaints of use of force violations against individual officers as well. But like the policy itself, Mercer said they'd have to talk to their legal team first. He did say repeatedly that he was open to talking with assembly members about what information his department could safely release. Assembly members plan to question Juneau police again later this month, and they laid out some of the data that they want to see, such as a race-based breakdown of the situations in which police decided to use force. In Juneau, I'm Rasha McChesney.
The Juneau Assembly wants to hear and answer questions from the community about the Juneau Police Department. Send those questions to boroughassembly@juneau.org. The meeting will be on June 22nd. Just as COVID-19 circulates throughout the state, Alaskans are still being targeted in coronavirus cases, coronavirus-related scams and frauds. Now there are variations of old scams repackaged for the current pandemic. KTOO's Matt Miller has more on what they are.
Federal law enforcement authorities say the exact number is still unclear, but they estimate between several hundred to over 1,000 complaints from Alaskans over the last few months. Common scams still include unsolicited calls, emails, and text messages to get Alaskans to reveal their personal information or bank account numbers, but with new variations, like from bogus charities posing as food banks. One common scam targeting grandparents includes someone claiming to be a grandchild or a law enforcement officer asking for bail money for a drunken driving arrest. The new coronavirus-related twist on that?
Oh, your grandchild or your child is in the hospital and we need you to help pay for their care. If somebody's reaching out to you and it isn't your family, you are exactly right to question them and to be cautious.
That's Brian Schroeder, U.S. Attorney for Alaska. Vacation homes and timeshares may not be getting much use with the pandemic curtailing travel. During a recent town hall organized by AARP Alaska, some Alaskans reported getting pestered with phone calls to help sell or rent those out. Chris Gonzalez of the FBI in Alaska says there are legitimate companies out there.
There also may be fraudsters who are capitalizing on the same potential opportunity and are saying, well, let me work with you. Why don't you just send me a check and I'll hook up, I'll arrange to have your timeshare rented out, and then they'll just start milking you for money.
When it comes to unsolicited phone calls from people you don't know, let it go to voicemail. Scammers won't leave a message. If you do pick up, Gonzalez says ask to call back so you can do your own investigating.
Take a moment. Anytime you get a phone call or a solicitation, any request, pause and ask yourself, why am I getting this request and who is this?
Ryan Tanzi, an assistant U.S. attorney based in Fairbanks who coordinates investigations in COVID-related fraud, says scams that still keep coming up have to do with pop-up testing sites and sales pitches for vaccines and other miracle cures.
There is no known cure or vaccine for the coronavirus at this time.
And Tanzi says, report it. He says, don't be ashamed or embarrassed if you realize that you fell for a scam.
It's not your fault. Many of these fraudsters are smart, they're sophisticated, and they're willing to lie to you up and down to get your information or their money. It is no different than if you were mugged in the street. It's just a different type of crime.
Anyone who thinks they were targeted as part of a fraud or a scam can call the hotline at the National Center for Disaster Fraud at 866-720-5721 or go online to tips.fbi.gov. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
Residents rallied in a small Alaska city to support LGBTQ rights after a florist declined to provide flowers for a same-sex wedding. The Juneau Empire reported that Tommy Varela says Heavenly Creations in Ketchikan told his mother the business would not sell flowers for his August wedding ceremony after learning there were two grooms. Varela and a friend organized a rally on June 5th outside the florist's location in the Ketchikan waterfront. This is